Hey everyone, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 1. When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." And they went, as they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it was written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their playmates, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds." So this section really is all about John. It's about the message that John sends and about John's question, and then Jesus' short little sermon about John. So the first thing to note is that John seems to be in doubt. Now, many commentators over the centuries have suggested that John surely is not doubting here. He's probably just doing this for the benefit of his disciples to be able to help them and their faith. I actually tend to think John actually was doubting. And I think it's actually encouraging to see this man who is the greatest of the Old Testament figures actually having second thoughts and wondering if all that he's given himself to and what he's given his life to is right. After all, he said the Messiah would come and bring fire and an axe. If Jesus is the Messiah, what's John still doing in prison? Right? These are the kinds of questions I think anybody would ask if they were in John's shoes. And so I think it's encouraging that to see that John had these doubts. Jesus' answer, if you'll note, is just a summary of everything that Jesus has done up until this point. Jesus has taught about the kingdom in the Sermon on the Mount. He has enacted the kingdom in his miracles and in his healings. And then he has equipped his disciples to go and teach about the kingdom and enact the kingdom in deeds and miracles. So his answer is to say, well, look at what's been done. The proof is in the pudding, if you will. His answer also is a series of quotations from Isaiah. And in the context of these Isaiah quotations, there's a lot of quotes that are just almost verbatim about what Jesus says here, but there's also a lot of judgment quotes. And it's almost as if Jesus is saying, look, I am fulfilling what the prophets have said, but judgment is delayed, or I'm not done, and judgment is coming. So hold tight, John. I am fulfilling all these things, but judgment is to come. At any rate, Jesus' response to John is positive. I am the one who was to come. And then he says, blessed are those who aren't offended in me, who don't stumble in me. I think this is generous. It's kind to John. He doesn't rebuke John. He doesn't expect John to have this doubtless faith. But he says, listen, when you wrestle with these unmet expectations, what you do then is the most important thing. And I would suggest this. Our expectations of what God would do and what God is like, and then the reality that we encounter, I think that's actually a very common theme in Scripture. Israel is promised that they will be delivered from Egypt, and they get into the wilderness and are like, well, this is not what we expected, but it is what God intended for them because they had to be tested. David is told, David, you're going to be a king. And David goes through years of opposition and resistance and running away from the rejected king. Elijah goes to Mount Sinai and, you know, he's hoping that God will rain down judgment. And Elisha, his replacement, doesn't do a lot of judging. He does a lot of healing and a lot of miracles. So again, I would suggest this unexpected or our expectations not being met is a very common theme. And the question is, what happens when your expectations aren't met? In particular, Jesus suggests here that people have been pressing into the kingdom and that one of the things that we should expect with the kingdom of God is opposition. He says, violent men have taken it by force. After all, John's in prison and Jesus will be crucified and Paul was taken in chains to Rome. So Jesus is saying, well, this is exactly how the kingdom will come. It will come with violence and opposition. Then as John's disciples go away, Jesus begins a short sermon on John. And who is this John? And what do people say about him? And what do you think about him? One of the things he says is that there's some great figures in the Old Testament. Moses, David, Elijah, these are important figures in the Old Testament. But Jesus says something remarkable, that John is the greatest of all Old Testament figures. That's really amazing because John doesn't do any miracles. He doesn't give law. He's out in the wilderness and crowds go out to him. Why is he so important? Well, the answer that Jesus gives is a quotation from Malachi. And the answer is simply that he is the last man of the Old Testament and he's preparing the way for Jesus. And the interesting thing is he quotes Malachi, and in the original quotation from Malachi, it says that a messenger will go to prepare God's way. And here Jesus sort of reconfigures the quotation that says he will go before you to prepare your way. So there's this difference, or somebody is going and having the way prepared for them, and they have this messenger before them, but they seem to be in the place of God. In other words, Jesus is coming in the place of God, or he is God, as Matthew tells us in the beginning. He is Emmanuel. So we have these great figures in the Old Testament, but then Jesus says something really remarkable, that the least significant person in the kingdom of God, in other words, the kingdom that Jesus ushers in, the very least significant person in that kingdom is greater than John, greater than Moses, greater than David. It's a really amazing statement. And it tells us something about how we should consider the kingdom of God. You know, in Hebrews, it says that the figures of the Old Testament yearned, and the angels themselves yearned to look into the things that were going to come about when the Messiah came. And so we need to understand ourselves as greatly privileged to be in this period of time between Jesus' giving of the kingdom to his disciples and his ultimate return to judge the world. Finally, he says, and this is really what all this is about, is how we respond to Jesus. And he gives this image of this, you know, kids in the market, and they're not satisfied with any song that's sung, all right? They don't like a sad song. They don't like a happy song. This really reminds me of Paul's words in 1 Corinthians when he says, well, you know, Jews demand sign, Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Jesus Christ crucified. The Savior that we need doesn't meet our expectations. And that's actually good news, because if we got what we expected, we wouldn't get what we need. And that's part of what Jesus is trying to say. Again, the word to John is the word to us. Blessed are those who don't stumble when the Messiah, the one that we need to save us, to deliver us, to show us how to live life, is not what we would craft after our own ideas. It's not the one that we would expect. Jesus is essentially saying with this little image that no one's receiving him, and that's precisely what we're going to see, obviously, as the gospel goes forward. But he ends the whole thing by saying that in verse 19, wisdom is justified by her deeds. I think Jesus is essentially saying that those who do receive him and the kind of lives that Jesus enables them to live through his grace and through the power of the Holy Spirit is going to be the justification. It's going to be the proof in the pudding. So may we lay hold of the grace of God, and may we seek first the kingdom of God, so that through his help and through the power of the Holy Spirit, our lives are the proof in the pudding of who Jesus is. Our lives as the people of God, scattered all over the world, are proof of who Jesus is. Amen.